X-rays and everything looked, for the most part, really good. And that's that. When I see people making 90s and 100s, they let me know that they're going back, they're studying their notes, they're looking at the old exams, and they're understanding the concepts. And the one thing I want you to make sure that you do, I want to make sure that you apply what you're learning, because it's not going to do you any good unless you apply the principles and the principles of honor that you're learning in class. It's one thing to know it. You know, the Bible says faith without works is dead. You know, so you want to apply it by actually doing what we've talked about in class. Amen. All right. We got about maybe less than a minute. I'm going to go ahead and get started. What we're going to be talking about today, it's going to appear like we're actually taking a turn because what we're going to be talking about will not be in your books. The next two class sessions, not to stop reading your books, but we're going to be talking about one of the enemies, or probably the greatest enemy to the spirit of honor. And so you're going to have to take good notes. Because what we're going to be sharing is not directly from the book, and that's going to be possibly for the next two class sessions. Let me get off in a word of prayer, and then we're going to get right into the lesson. Father, we just thank you, Lord God, that this is the day that you have made. We thank you right now, Lord God, hallelujah, that this house is under apostolic government. And we thank you for the order that's in this house, Lord God. We thank you for accurate doctrine, Lord God, hallelujah. And we thank you, Lord God, hallelujah, that you have placed an apostle over us, Lord God. And that, Lord God, that the government is being established. The kingdom is being established, Lord God. And Lord God, we're flowing in that, Lord God. I thank you for what you're doing by your spirit. I just thank you that each student is receiving everything they need in order to walk in the grace and to do exploits that God has ordained for us to do, Lord God. So we just give you all the praise and all the glory. And Lord, I just thank you for your Holy Spirit showing up in this place, Lord God. Father, for you know that if your Holy Spirit don't show up, Lord, I'll fall flat on my face, Lord God. I'm totally yielded and dependent upon you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. We're going to be talking about the spirit of pride. Pride is going to be the root of all sin. Pride is the root of all iniquity. Pride is the thing that caused Satan to fall from heaven. We're going to be talking about the spirit of pride. But there's another word. About a year ago, I was given a book by the dean of the school, Dr. Leroy Thompson Jr. And the book talks about pride, but it is putting pride under the umbrella of what is known as the spirit of Leviathan. And let me spell that for you. Leviathan is spelled L-E-V-I-A-T-A-N. And we're going to be talking about the spirit of Leviathan and how pride is rooted in that spirit of Leviathan. The biggest adversary to the spirit of honor is the spirit of pride, which takes its roots in the spirit of Leviathan. In the book of Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 27 and verse 1, it talks about the spirit of Leviathan. It says, "In that day the Lord will soar and great and strong sword shall punish Leviathan, the piercing serpent, the even Leviathan, the corked serpent, and he shall slay the dragon that is in the sea." And that's Isaiah chapter 27 and 1. So it says, in that day, the Lord with his sore and great strong sword shall punish Leviathan and pierce, as Isaiah 27 and 1, and pierce and that piercing serpent, even Leviathan, the corked serpent, he shall slay the dragon that is in the sea. So here is calling Leviathan a piercing serpent, a corked serpent, or the dragon that's in the sea. What Leviathan is, God describes in the book of Job also. Job chapter 41 talks about the spirit of Leviathan. It talks about it as being a sea monster, and it's a strong spirit of pride. It says there is a strong evil spirit named Leviathan. A Leviathan is an evil demonic spirit of pride. It goes on to say that Leviathan when it talks about the sea, you're talking about like the sea of people. And if you could imagine some, and it's a lot of it is symbolism, but it's how Satan can curl himself around people's minds and wrap you up in pride, arrogance, haughtiness, and it'll keep you from operating in humility. It'll keep you from operating in the spirit of honor. It'll keep you from yielding. One of the things I really haven't talked a lot about, but we're going to be talking about it more, is having a yielded spirit. You want to be able to when you yield, just like when you're driving in your car, the sign says yield. Yield means to give the other person the right of way. When you yield, you want to yield to God and give God the right of way in your life. You know, not you doing what you want to do. You see, one thing pride will do, pride will try to do it its own way. Pride always says, I. It's all about me. You know, pride is it's self-seeking, it's self-centered, it has its own ambition, and everything is centered around me, myself, and I. When you talk about pride, and when a person who's operating in pride like that, they're not going to yield. They're not going to yield to the Holy Spirit. They're not going to yield to apostolic authority, even though it may appear outwardly that they're yielding, but on the inside, their heart is full of pride, is full of arrogance. And one of the things we want to safeguard ourselves from is that spirit of pride, is spirit of Leviathan that pride takes its roots from. And we're going to be talking about that, as I said, in the next two sessions. It says here, this is a scripture out of Job 41 and 34. It says, he beholdeth all high things. It's talking about pride or the spirit of Leviathan. He beholdeth all high things. He is a king over all the children of pride. Of all the beasts, he is the proudest. He reigns supreme over all the pride of the earth. And that's Job 41 and 34. Another way of saying that same verse, it says, he looks down on all that are haughty. He is the king or the ruler of all who are proud. Pride and Leviathan are practically synonymous. It is hard to separate the two of them. There was a song back in the 70s, and the name of the song was called It's the Pride. And when I first started studying this, that song came back to me, and one verse kind of came out. When you finally break it on down, it's the pride that's going to be the root of all sin. And we're going to see how Lucifer, we're going to talk about him in a little bit, how when he was in heaven, he led the praise and worship. But his heart was lifted up because he wanted to be like the Most High. He wanted to be God. And pride was the main root of his demise, of him being cast out of heaven. And because of that, now that he's been cast out, he tries to shroud us and shroud the believers, shroud the world with that spirit of pride and arrogance to keep us from serving God with a whole heart, to keep us from walking in our destiny. And that's so very important because we want to walk in honor. And honor has a yielded spirit. Honor is humility. But one of the things I want to point out about humility, and I remember we used to always use the word in the Baptist church, humble. And I always thought humble meant weak and kind of timid. But that's what the enemy wants you to think. When you humbly serve God, there is a boldness there, because what you're doing is you're serving God. The Bible says, I'm crucified with Christ, but nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ that liveth on the inside of me. And the life that I'm now living, I'm living that life by the faith of the Son of God. And so I'm humbly submitting myself unto God, unto His service. And I'm doing it with the boldness. I don't know why this alarm keeps coming on. Let me hit it again. Okay. I'm doing it with a boldness, a compassion, because I recognize that it's Him that strengthens me, that God that strengthens you to do whatever you do in ministry, whether it's ushering, whether it's a praise leader, whether it's, you know, working in the ministry of helps in the children's church, or as a leader in the church. Everything you do it as unto God, and you do it in humility, and you serve in honor. Well, what pride will do, pride will keep you from reaching your full potential, because pride is always looking to, is always self-seeking, self-aspiring, trying to put self on the pedestal. You know, one of the things I've learned over the years is you always want to stay small in your own eyes. When people give you accolades and tell you that you've been a blessing, or what you shared, or what you did, you led praise and worship, you really blessed the people. One of the things I've always learned to do is to give God the glory, because all glory belongs to Him. You know, the minute you start to try to take some of that glory, God is a jealous God. He says, I'm not going to have any other gods before me. You know, but the way to stay in that stay small in your own eyes is when people, you know, pray, and it's nothing wrong with it, but it's how you receive it. You know, when people share things and say, you know, brother, you're such a blessing to me, I say, well, just praise God, because all that I am is because of Him. If, you know, and when you do that, you because, you know, in Him, the Bible says, we live and we move and we have our being. And so anything that's good on the inside of you is because of Him. And so when you acknowledge Him, well, then that's an act of humility, and you're humbling yourself before God. And the Bible says, when you humble yourself before the Lord, He will exalt you in due time. Because, you know, but when you try to put yourself on the pedestal, the Bible says you're going to be abased. You know, and so we want to always make sure that we walk in total, complete humility. Many people fall prey to Satan's temptation and are trapped into the sin of pride, which in most cases render them incapable of getting back up again and walking in, because they've been walking in dishonor, because pride is so deeply rooted in their hearts. Leviathan is like a serpent, twisting himself around people's hearts, making them callous and cold. A lot of times when a person gets in error and they may leave the church, or they may be bitter. And even when you talk to them, it's kind of like, you know, like I'm talking to a block of ice, because they've allowed pride, they've allowed arrogance to creep in. And it's hard for the Holy Spirit to do the work, because, see, the Holy Spirit is a gentleman. You know, when you yield to Him, He'll manifest Himself to you. But if you shut up and you let pride get on the inside of you, it's almost like you shut the door. When you shut the door, you know, even though God is constantly knocking and want to come in, but pride won't allow Him to come in, won't allow the Holy Spirit to come in and do the work that He wants to do, because He'll let you just go in your own way. You know, but His heart is that God's desire is for us to walk in total and complete humility to Him. Pride will keep us from getting back into position. Let me read this. This is good. Pride will keep us from getting back into the position and alignment of what God has called us to do, and keep us outside the will of God for our lives. Never to walk in true blessing, that Jesus has provided for us because we are wrapped up and called up in the spirit of pride. You remember it was saying about Leviathan, how it was a serpent and how it was a, and it also used the word twisted, coiled. If you think about a snake, think about a boa constrictor, how it one of the defensive of a boa constrictor is when it gets a hold of you, it just curls itself around you and it sucks all the life out of you. Pride, when it gets around or gets on the inside of you, it'll just call itself around, like I said, like a shut door, and nothing, you know, nothing could penetrate. And one of the things that it talks about how this spirit is so strong, you know, that the only thing that'll break pride is the love of God. The only thing that'll break pride is the love of God. You know, the love of God has got to be shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Spirit. You know, because love is the greatest force in the universe. You know, love has to enter in and just break that grip and that stronghold of pride that'll keep you from walking in honor, keep you from walking in total and complete humility. The opposite of pride, and I've been talking about it already, is humility. And Jesus is our perfect example of humility. He always acknowledges and honors the Father. I'm talking about Jesus. One of the things Jesus will always say, I only do what I see my Father do. You know, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. You know, Jesus, even though he was the Son of God, the Bible says how he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on the cross. You know, and because of his humility, God highly exalted him and gave him a name that is above every name. And he is the example that we should follow, you know, of a person. Jesus boldly did the will of his Father. He came to this earth and he preached the gospel to every creature and everybody who in his circle, in the cities that he went around. And he did, you know, he did God's will. Even to what talks about death on the cross. And he said, Lord, if there be any other way, but nevertheless, not my will. In other words, I'm not going to let my pride, I'm not going to let my position with you, because now I know, even though I've stepped down and I'm a man, but I'm going to have to step down even further and to death on the cross. But if that's what it takes, Lord, I'm willing to do your will. You know, I'm willing to do thy will, O God. You know, and by doing that, God exalted him. You see, when you submit to what God's called you to do, and you humbly submit all the ability, all the power, all that you need, God is going to equip you with to fulfill his plan and his purpose in your life. So you can't allow pride. You know, in ministry and working in the ministry of helps, there's going to always be things that's going to rub you the wrong way. You know, it's going to always be either a person or something that might be said or things that might disturb you a little bit. Well, you have to know how to shake it off. You know, there's something unique about the feathers on a duck's back. They never really appear to ever get wet. Even though the duck will flap in the water and he flips back up, that water just has, I don't know if it's a film or a covering over his feathers, but the water just rolls off of his back. You know, we need to let offense and discouragement and all those things that try to come against us just roll off of us, just like water on a duck's back. Because those things will keep us from fulfilling the destiny that God has equipped and God has designed for us. Let me move on. I want to talk a little bit here about, I kind of quoted Philippians, but I want to read it. It says here in Philippians 2, verses 5 through 11, I'm going to read most of it, I'm imagining right now. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon himself the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. Now that's Jesus. He was essentially one in heaven with God. And he stripped himself. He took off of his royal reins, his royal coat. He stepped down from his seat. He was seated at the right hand of the majesty on high. And he put on an earth suit. Okay, and he was born of a woman, you know, Mary in the manger, and he became a man with the same passions, the same hurts, just like we have. And it says in verse 8, and being found in the fashion as a man, he humbled himself. Humble means he submitted to God's will. When you humble yourself, you submit to the will of the Father. You want to humble yourself and submit yourself to God's will for your life. Because Jesus is the perfect example of humility. And not only did he humble himself, but he came obedient unto death, even death on the cross. And because of his act of humility, it says, therefore, God also highly exalted him and gave him a name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven, in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Those who walk in humility will be exalted, but those who walk in pride will be cast down. Okay, so then what is pride? Okay, pride, this is a definition you're going to need to know. Pride is a reasonable and justifiable sense of one's self-worth or position. Living for self, or a sense of being better than others, having excessive self-esteem. I'll read that again. Pride. Pride is a reasonable and a justifiable sense of one's self-worth or position. Living for self, or a sense of being better than others, having excessive self-esteem. That's just overly puffed up. You know, it's all about me. It's all about what I can do, what I can accomplish, what gifts, what talents God has given me. That's pride. When people have an I-ism, and they always talk about I got all this talent, you know, I appreciate athletes who are gifted with talent, but you know, I was watching LSU football game, and their Heisman Trophy candidate, you know, even though he's so gifted, after he scores a touchdown, he's going to all his offensive line and just say, man, hey, thank you. You know, you did a good job. You did a good, you know, he's given, even though he made the touchdown, but he said, I couldn't have done it without you. You know, I mean, Darryl here, he played for LSU. He's, you know, so he knows why. But that now, it puts energy back in them. You know, because now they're going to want to do more because he's acknowledging them. You know, you always want to. It's not about you, especially in spiritual things, but it's about you doing the will of God. And when you now are able to transmit the blessings of God that's on your life to others, you know, you're energizing and you're putting something in them, so now they can continue to do what God has called them to do at their position. You know, you always want to build people. See, pride will never build people up. It'll always put them in a lesser position than you are. You know, because when you walk in pride, you're really walking in a sense of arrogance. I'm you know, it's all about me, you know. And well, listen, let me just give you some definitions of arrogance. Pride will always think that I'm the man. I have an ultra ego, okay? Arrogance is a feeling of an impression of superiority, a feeling or an impression of superiority manifested in an overbearing manner or presumptuous claim. It is the attitude of feeling superior and scorning others because of their intellectual level or their lack of ability, color of their skin, their native country, or any other excuse that might exalt a particular person above others. And I'll read that again. This is arrogance. A feeling or an impression of superiority manifested in an overbearing manner or presumptuous claim. It is the attitude of feeling superior or scorning others because of their intellectual level or lack of ability, their skin color, their native country, or any other excuse that might exalt a particular person above others. And then there's also haughtiness or haughty. And a haughty person is one having or showing an insulting attitude of people who think they are better and smarter and more important than other people. Those who are blatantly and disdainfully proud. In other words, they're just puffed up. Then if they're, like we used to use the expression, full of themselves. That's a person who's haughty. You know, it's all about me. Arrogance, pride, and haughtiness all run together. To be used by God, you always want to stay, and I already stated this, you always want to stay small in your eyes. Christ is the ultimate example of humility. It's not weakness, but it's meekness. And I said that meekness and humility and humbleness don't mean that you're weak, but what it does mean that you're submitted. And when you're submitted, the person you're submitted to, they take your weaknesses and you take their strength. So when you're submitted to Christ, you know, he takes your weaknesses, your insufficiencies, and your inabilities, and he now equips you with his ability and with his strength, you know. And that's one thing I've learned, you know, you always want to be yourself, but I'm strong in him. No, and when you recognize it's not you, but it's Christ living and working through you, then it's easy just to continue to flow in what God's called you to do. Proverbs 20:21-4 says, a high look and a proud heart are a plowing of wickedness is sin. Proverbs 21:4, a high look and a proud heart and the plowing of wickedness is sin. Pride, arrogance, and haughtiness are defined as the spirit of Leviathan. And you need to know that. Pride, arrogance, and haughtiness is defined as the spirit of Leviathan. The spirit of Leviathan is the root of all sin. You know, we're going to talk a little bit in a few minutes about Satan's fall and how his fall was a result of him wanting to exalt himself. It was pride that caused Satan to rebel against God in heaven. For this prideful act, he was cast out of heaven. Proverbs 6:16-17 says, and I'm just going to really read one aspect of it. There's six things that the Lord hate, and seven, yea, an abomination unto him. The first one is a proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that go to shed innocent blood. So the first thing that God hates is a proud look. You know, a look of pride, you know, of arrogance, somebody who wants to be haughty. Job 40:12 says, look on everyone that is proud and bring him low and tread down the wicked in their place. Satan's heart was lifted up with pride because the spirit of Leviathan, he allowed the very thing that God hates, pride, arrogance, and haughtiness, to corrupt his heart. Okay, I'm going to read from Ezekiel now. Ezekiel has an account of Satan and how he exalted himself or how he wanted to exalt himself in heaven. As I stated earlier, he led the praise and worship in heaven. And because he was so admired and he had such beauty, the Bible talks about how pipes, whether or not it was organ pipes, but music flowed out of him. He was beautiful to look upon, and the sound that came out of him was just, you know, just a warm and soothing instrumental sound. It says here in Ezekiel 28:17, thy heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. You know, not only just his beauty, but his position, his talent, his gift and ability. You need to be careful, you know, when God puts you in a position, are you blessed with talent, gifting and ability? You don't want to be lifted up like Satan was because of that. He said here that thy heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reasoning of thy brightness. I will cast thee to the ground. I will lay thee before kings that they may behold thee. The more talented and the more gifted you are, the more humble you must be. To whom much is given, much is required. You know, the more talented, the more gifting that you are, that God has blessed you with, the more humble you must be. Because if you don't, those abilities, talents, and giftings, you don't want it to get to your head. You know, you don't want your head to swell up. Because, you know, I've seen people do that, you know, because it's so easy, because it's almost a part of our human nature. Because you see, that's the same thing, I'm running out of time, that Satan deceived Eve in the garden with, you know. He said, had God not said, that you can eat, all the fruit in the garden. Eve said, well, we can eat all the fruit, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, we should not eat it, because if we do, we're going to die. And he said, no, you're not. He said, you're not going to surely die. He said, but your eyes going to be open. And see, that was a deception right there. You know, yeah, her eyes were open, but it was open to evil. They already was experiencing good, because everything God made in Genesis, he said that it was good. They were living in a garden, and there was gold in the garden, and the garden was good. So everything they needed was right there in the garden. But because of deceptionness, because of you see, when he was in heaven, he wanted to be on top. But then the Bible says, I beheld Satan falling as lightning from the sky. God threw him and thrust him out of heaven, and he landed here on the earth. And so now he's walking to and fro trying to find somebody who can devour. Well, God created Adam and Eve, and God made Adam. The Bible says that he formed man out of the dust of the ground, and he breathed the breath of life into man, and man became a living and a breathing soul. So Adam and Eve was the very express image of God. Matter of fact, in Psalms 8, it says, What is this man that thou art so mindful of him, that thou think so highly of him, that thou crowned him with glory and honor, you know, and placed him over the works of thy hand. God placed Adam and Eve over the works of his hand, the earth, and told him to replenish the earth and to subdue it. And so what Satan wants now, he still, because of pride, he still wants to mess up things. Well, I couldn't be ruler in heaven, so I'm gonna try to be ruler down here, and I'm gonna deceive him. And that was because of pride. And he injected that pride into Adam and Eve. It says, this is the Amplified Bible of that same verse. It says, your heart was proud and lifted up because of your beauty. You corrupted your wisdom for the sake of your splendor. I will cast thee to the ground. I will lay thee before kings, and they shall gaze at you. Okay, this is something you're going to need to know. The spirit of pride came into existence the moment Lucifer sinned and allowed his heart to be lifted up against God. The spirit of pride came into existence the moment Lucifer sinned and allowed his heart to be lifted up against God. Because of his beauty, he wanted to be lifted up above God. A prideful and an arrogant person is weak and easily falls into temptation. Each time a person allows pride and arrogance to creep in, it reminds God of the rebellion caused by Satan in heaven. Let me read that again. A prideful and an arrogant person is weak and easily to be tempted. Each time a person allows pride and arrogance to creep in, it reminds God of the rebellion that Satan caused in heaven. After Satan was cast out of heaven, he used his deceptiveness, the deceptiveness of pride, which led to man's downfall in Genesis chapter 3. And I quoted this verse earlier in Luke 10 and 18, where Jesus says, I beheld Satan as lightning falling from heaven. The fall the fallen angel Satan, who fell from heaven, as described in Luke 10 and 18, Satan still has a craving to be like God. Even though he was cast down, he still wanted to be like God. As a result of the fall, Satan beguiled Eve, deceived her through trickery, to turn over her authority to him, before man was saved, our unrenewed nature became infected with pride. Now, once you got saved, you know, you now have the very life and the nature of God. But at the same time, pride can still creep in. You know, that's why it's so important to guard your heart. You know, you want to guard your heart, you know, putting on the whole armor of God. Because even though we've been delivered from sin, we still live in a world that's full of sin, that's full of pride, you know, arrogance and haughtiness, you know, overly ambitious and arrogant people are all around us. And so it's easy for that deceptiveness to come in because Satan is still busy. He's a deceiver of the brethren. You know, so he's always trying to deceive us and making us think we're more than who we think we are. Because outside of Christ, we're nobody. Amen? All right. Okay, let's look at Genesis chapter 3 and verse 1 through 6. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field, which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, had God said, ye shall eat of the tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest you die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die, which is deceptiveness. For God does know that in the day that thou eat thereof, thy eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as God. So wanting to make them, you know, wanted to put Adam and Eve in a position of being God. Now what, you know, when you know scriptures, they were already gods because God had made them, according to Psalms 1:8, he says, what art man that thou art so mindful of him? Thou has made him a little lower than Elohim in the Greek. And that word Elohim means God. God made man just a shade lower than himself and crowned him with glory and honor. So actually man, Adam and Eve on the earth was God's under rulers here on earth. So they were made, you know, they were higher than the angels to rule over God's creation, you know. But here Satan now is trying to deceive him into something that they already had. You know, he said that thou should be as gods, knowing good and evil. They already knew good, and all the eating of the fruit did was open up their eyes to evil, enticing her that she would be like God. This is pride, you know, his pride coming out. And then it said, and the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes, you know, being deceived from the looks of things. And the tree was desired to make one wise. And she took the fruit thereof and did eat and gave also to her husband, and he did eat. Just think, the tree of life was also in that garden. You know, he didn't tempt them to eat that because that was something God told them that they could eat. You know, if you eat the tree of life, you know, you're going to have that life everlasting, you know, but he was tempting them to eat something that would cause pride, that would cause deceptiveness to come into them. And basically they were kicked out of the garden because of disobedience, and they yielded over their authority to Satan. Now, through Jesus Christ, we have we've regained that, because Jesus said after he came back from heaven, all power and our authority is in my hand. He said to go ye therefore in all the world and to preach the gospel to every creature. So he came, the Bible says, he said, I have the keys. So Jesus took the keys of death, hell, and the grave from Satan, and he took a man's authority back. But we have to recognize and know how to walk in our authority, and we do that humbly. Amen? All right, let's move on. Pride shows no respect of authority and is selfish and is arrogant. Believers believe in individualism. A person who walks in pride, they believe in just being individual. I'm an island all by myself. I don't need no help. I'm an individual. I can do it all by myself. They have an individualistic spirit, believes in self-dependency. Whereas honor shows respect, honor shows submission, honor shows loyalty. Honor walks in one accord and walks in love towards others. Honor has its dependency in God. When you walk in honor, your dependency is in God. And it shows respect. It submits and it walks in love and it walks in God's order. That's why I'm saying, you know, this class is the spirit of honor, but we want to make sure that there's nothing interfering with us from walking in that spirit of honor. We want to make sure that pride, arrogance, you know, all of these things that the enemy has demised to keep us from reaching our destiny, that we don't allow these things to take us over. A person operating in pride may act like they're submitting outwardly, but inwardly their hearts are far from submission. In Isaiah 14 and verses 12 through 14, it says, it's talking about Lucifer again. It says, "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which did it weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thy heart." Now listen to this. This is what Satan was saying. He says, "For thou hast said in thy heart, I will ascend into heaven." Now notice what he's talking about himself. "I will ascend into heaven." He says, "I will exalt my throne above the stars of God." You know, "I will sit upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High." I. Pride, 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 pride. You know, that's his MO. Pride. You know, pride is the root of all sin. You see, because up to that point, he was the anointed cherub in heaven. He led the praise and worship in heaven. But all of a sudden now, you know, he said, for he said in his heart, "I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds, and I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit." When you exalt yourself, you're going to be brought low, you know, and that's a spiritual principle. You know, when you exalt yourself, Luke 18 and 14, if I'm not mistaken, it talks about that. I wrote it down somewhere, that particular scripture. 18 and 14, those who exalt themselves shall be abased. Those who humble themselves shall be exalted. All right. Something else that you're going to definitely need to know. People under the influence of the spirit of pride do not serve or acknowledge spiritual authority are a spiritual covering. They serve as lone rangers. Read it again. People under the influence of pride, they do not acknowledge spiritual authority or a spiritual covering. They serve as a lone ranger. A lone ranger is somebody who just, if you ever remember the movie, and some of you younger students probably don't remember the Lone Ranger, but he always rode alone. I think he had Tonto with him, but for the most part, everything he did was on his own. You know, he didn't have a posse with him. He just did it on his own. Well, pride, a person who is prideful, you know, they have their own agenda. Anytime somebody in your ministry or in a ministry have an ulterior motive or their own agenda, they're walking in pride because they're not submitting to the covering or the man of God that they're under. You know, they come with an ulterior motive, and that's all stem from pride because they want to promulgate their own agenda. They want to exploit their own schemes or their own devices. You know, and a lot of times they'll come and they're looking for members. They're looking for people that could gather themselves around them. And so when they leave, they can take a good percentage or a certain percentage of the members in that church, you know. And so that's so very important that we understand that we need to continually and totally walk in humility and not allow that spirit of pride to have any, you know, any opportunity to manifest itself. Pride binds people spiritually. It makes them unable to receive and to walk in covenant. They have through the blood of Jesus. They will not have spiritual discernment. A person who walks in pride will have no spiritual discernment because pride will bind you. You know, when you have discernment, you can sense and you can God is able to speak to you and you can discern things. But when you walk in pride, you're not going to have any spiritual discernment. They are unable to receive revelation, knowledge, deliverance, prosperity, peace because pride binds them. The reason so many people get shut up with pride is because of the effects of Leviathan. Leviathan has a tight call around them. It's inhibiting the move of the Holy Spirit. In other words, it hinders the move of the Holy Spirit in their life. They cannot hear or discern the Holy Spirit. The author says that the Holy Spirit has come. When you talk about the Holy Spirit, he talks about like the air that's the Holy Spirit. The wind moves where it will, but thou cannot tell where it comes from. You know, such as things as the Spirit. Well, a person who walks in pride, they're not going to be able to discern the move of the Spirit because it tightly calls itself around them and it keeps them from walking in discernment of the Holy Spirit or any move of God. It almost puts a stranglehold on them. And it binds them around their neck. And one of the things I learned was that, you know, the Bible talks about a stiff-necked people. And the neck has a lot to do with, a symbolic of the will. A person who's stiff-necked, I'm not turning, I'm not budging. You know, a person who walks in pride, they have a stiff neck. And because pride has binded them and keep them from being pliable. You want your heart always to be pliable. You know, pliable means that it can be massaged. The Holy Spirit can work on it. You know, something that's pliable is you know, when you think about Plato. When you take it now, some of you won't probably even remember about Plato, but it's like a goo, a gooey substance. When you first take it out the can, you can form it and shape it and do it. But if you leave it out and let it get exposed to the air, it gets hard and it gets hard as a rock. Well, you know, you want to guard your heart. You don't want your heart to become hard or callous. You don't want pride to cause that binding to take place where now you're not able to hear and to discern God. Another thing that's important here is a major problem among leaders and believers today is a lack of submission in authority and an unwillingness to serve. A major problem among leaders and believers today is a lack of submission to authority and an unwillingness to serve. And pride, a lot of times, is the reason. You know, a person might be asked to do something, you know, in ministry, you know, to go serve tables or to go clean up a bathroom. And pride will say, well, you know, I'm an evangelist. I don't do that. You know, that's pride. That's pride, you know. God used me mightily. I'm above that. My pay grade in the spirit is higher than this. You know, that's pride. You know, and you have people like that. You know, and you need to always check yourself because you know it's robbing you of the blessing. It's robbing you because a lot of times I know my time is about gone, but a lot of times God will use a man of God to test you, just to see, you know, if you're gonna humble yourself to do something that you might consider to be beneath you, but what really is you're trying to be exalted, because if you humble yourself, God will see your heart. See, God don't look at the outward appearance. A lot of times, people they might go through the motions, but their heart's not there. And God, you know, you're not fooling nobody because God has your number. He sees it. You think you might be getting by or people think they might be getting by, but you know, they're not. Amen. Amen. Let me make sure I covered everything. It says here, they seek reasons not to serve or continually justify their lack of submission, especially if they have never served especially if they have to serve under someone whom they consider less knowledgeable or who has served less time in ministry as them. You know, that's going a person who don't want to submit or have an unwillingness to serve. It said that they seek reasons not to serve or continually justify their lack of submission, especially if they have to serve under somebody who they consider less knowledgeable or have served. You know, I've been in ministry longer than you. You know, I've been saved longer than you. I've been used longer than you. So why should I? You know, that's pride. Why should I do this? No. One thing I've learned to do is whatever I'm told to do in ministry, I submit to it. You know, people say, you know, Brother Calhoun, you know, God has used you in various areas. Well, it's because of a willingness to always serve. Stay small in your own eyes. You know, don't exalt yourself. You know, the Bible says, you know, God is the one. He'll put one high, he'll set one low, you know. But when you humbly serve, see, God looks at the heart, and God is the one that exalts. And that's how you walk in honor. That's how you walk in honor. All of this, everything we talked about is positioning you to continually to walk in honor, you know, to walk in excellence, to walk in humility, to walk in yieldingness, so that you can humbly serve God with nothing to hinder you. You don't want nothing to hinder your service for God. Amen? All right, we'll continue with this next week. Amen.